What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tech Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch. Yes.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have a Frasita!
Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rockfin, YouTube, or Iconic, or listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks so much. We do appreciate all of your support. Couldn't do it without you. Couldn't do it without our amazing sponsors. And we like to try and keep the sponsors small businesses, people that have similar thoughts to us as far as the way they see the world turning out. And one of the reasons why we have C60 Purple Power and Ken Schwartz, the owner and chief science officer of that company, is because not only is he making an amazing product that is having unbelievable effects on people, but he also understands where we're coming from in the alternative media world. That is something very rare for the scientific community, but he is, I'll tell you what, you get him off camera and we just want to talk about some false flags and stuff like that, you'd be surprised. So we're lucky to have C60 Purple Power as a sponsor. What their product does, it's a free radical scavenger. It's C60 is a naturally occurring molecule comprised of 60 carbon atoms forming something that looks like a hollow soccer ball. Buckminster Fuller theorized about it. These older scientists in the late 80s actually discovered it, and they won the Nobel Prize for this discovery. It is the most powerful antioxidant known, this C60 carbon soccer ball that they talk about. It has antioxidant efficiency several hundred times more than the leading products out there. And not only can C60 help maximize the efficiency of the cells in producing energy, but it may also provide cellular protection against many toxic environmental factors. If you saw the episode with Ken Schwartz, you'll know that he was a nuclear physicist, was looking for a product that would help protect his bodies and his cells from the nuclear radiation he was working around. He started taking the C60 product and he found that as a byproduct, it fixed his macular degeneration. And he thought, wow, if it will do that, what else can it fix? So I've been taking it since the day he sent me my bottle. I've been giving it to my poor sick cat who has showed remarkable progress and completely turned around. I will take this product forever. I will talk about it for as long as I have this show. I am a firm believer in it. So go to c60purplepower.com. Check it out for yourself. If you decide to buy it, use the promo code MACRO to save yourself some money. They have free shipping within the United States. And you're also supporting a small business based in Boulder, Colorado, that's making a pretty outstanding product. So that's the sales pitch. It's not much of a sales pitch because it's just something that I believe in. So it makes it a whole lot easier to talk about it in that case. And speaking of stuff you can believe in, I tell you, from time to time, I get feedback on the shows that I do. And I usually gauge that feedback by whether or not I get a phone call from my mother. And after we had Mike Dank on, I got a phone call from my mother and she said, "That was the most interesting episode I've listened to so far." She's listened to all of them. "That's the most interesting one where you got into astrotheology." So back by popular demand, not just because my mother demands it, but because the audience has spoken, it is Micah Dank. What's up, buddy? How are you? Good to see you again.
What's up, man? That's quite an endorsement right there. I hope I can live up to that. I apologize for the attire, although I am wearing a Union of the Unwanted shirt.
I am wearing my Do Not Comply shirt from the Macro Aggressions merch store.
I recently had a shoulder replacement surgery. I think everybody in the podcast community knows that. But I'm just, I'm healing. I had PT today and then we were just going to try and get it on. So I think your mom's going to like this episode. I don't know if she's heard of the Book of Enoch. Off camera, you told me you're not really familiar with it. Right. It doesn't matter. You will be after this.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear about it. I hear about a lot of the Bible stories and, listen, I think maybe it's time for me to take a look through the Bible, if for no other reason, to try and have some sort of a deeper understanding of this, because a lot of the things that we talk about in society has ties to religion in general, but Christianity and the Bible in particular. And then you find that a lot of concepts, movie concepts, book concepts, things like that, they come from the Bible. So it's like learning Latin as a language, where it's like a base layer where all of these other languages, not all of them, but a lot of them are built on top of it. And maybe to understand the Bible would be like a base layer to see that all of these storylines that are built on top of it. So you're going to get into the Book of Enoch, and that is one of the, that's something that I have very limited understanding of, but I do know that it is, I hear it spoken about quite a bit. It must be important. Mm-hmm. So fill us in on the details as to why this is important to us in these modern times.
Okay, so the Book of Enoch is significant in the sense that Enoch, I believe, was the grandfather of Methuselah, who was the grandfather of Noah.
Okay.
And in the Bible, there's only three people that went to heaven. I believe it's three people that went to heaven without dying. And Enoch was the first. Okay. In the Bible, it says how old he was. And then what it does is it says, and then he was not, for God had took him. Because in the Bible, when you go through the lineage of everybody, it says this person lived 950 years and then they died, or they begat a son or a daughter and then they died. The numbers are wild. The numbers are actually, people theorize that they're months, not years, which would make a little bit of sense. But in reality, they're actually frequencies. When you add them up, they're frequencies. They're frequencies in, for example, when you're talking about the King's List, it adds up to 432,000, which is a harmonic frequency.
Yeah.
They're just frequencies. That's all they are. And so Enoch was significant in that aspect. And the Book of Enoch was actually, it's still in the Ethiopian Bible. Mm-hmm. They still have, I believe, I can't remember how many books they have, but they have a lot more, and they have the Book of Enoch there. They still worship it. And surprise, the Book of Enoch, just like all the other books that were removed from the Bible or have anything to do with the Bible, are hidden astrology books.
Ooh.
Okay, that's all it is. That's all it is. So when you write a story, I'm an author. I have a 6-book series out. When you write a story, and I've written stuff to be decoded in my book series. But when you're reading something that's encoded, not every line that you read is encoded. Some is just story, right? And then there's stuff to decode. So you have to figure out which is which. That's how it is with the Book of Enoch too. Not every line is astrotheology, but a lot of it is. Now, in order to understand, it's been a while since I've been on this show, and for your mother's sake, I'm going to go over the 12 signs of the zodiac.
Please do.
Because you have to know what to look for. Each sign has certain things in it that will tell you what sign they're talking about. Okay?
Okay.
So Aquarius is the man with the water pitcher. Mm-hmm. So it's basically, you know, how many fountains you've seen of a man with a water pitcher and the water's pouring out. Mm-hmm. So if you hear the word like fountain of water or son of man, because he's the sign of the man, then you're talking Aquarius. Pisces is the two fish, okay, in the water. So when you're talking about Aquarius, which is the man with the water pitcher, or Pisces, which is the water, when they talk about water or moving water or water in the heavens or something of that effect, they're talking about these two water signs. You just have to discern which it is.
Okay.
And there are ways that you can do that. The third sign that I talk about is Aries, which is the ram. And in Aries, you have March 21st, which is the spring equinox, which we literally just passed. Mm-hmm. It's a 12-hour day and a 12-hour night. And it's significant because the Jews celebrate the Passover, which is God passing over Egypt. And he smites the firstborn sons of the people who don't have the lamb's blood on the door. Well, the lamb's blood is the ram, and the Jews are the people of Aries. So that's why they do that. It's why the Jews blow the ram's horn to the sky during the high holidays, because it's just Aries worship. When it doesn't mean the Passover like that, they're talking about the passing over of the sun over the equator and on its way back to the summer solstice. Days get longer, daylight savings times hits. On a modern day thing, daylight savings times hits, you have longer days, there's less depression. In Christianity, the passing over is changed, and it's called the resurrection of the sun. S-U-N. Okay. So the fourth sign is Taurus, which is the bull. So when you look at the sky and you see Taurus, you know that as above, so below. You see the bull in the sky, you have to put the plow on the bull on earth, in order so that you could plant the seeds so you can harvest the main foods in Virgo and Libra. Hold on. Sorry about that. Nope. Then Gemini is the twins. It's the story of Castor and Pollux Troy, whose sister was Helen of Troy. It's the story of Achilles. So when they mention brothers or twins, then that's what they're talking about. Cancer is the crab. It's the sideways moving creature. It moves like this, because what happens is the sun actually does this. See, what happens is on December 25th, the sun rises a degree on its axis. Okay. And then it continues every single day. The sun rises a single degree on its axis every day. The days get longer, 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 longer. And then on June 21st, it hits the summer solstice, which is the longest day of the year. Mm-hmm. At that height, therefore, it stays at that height for three consecutive days. Right. And then on on June 25th, it drops a degree. And then it continues to descend a singular degree every single day until it hits December 21st. December 21st is the day, it's the winter solstice. It's the day the sun dies because it's no longer rising anymore. Mm-hmm. Then it's dead for 3 days, just like Jesus was dead for 3 days. And then it rises again a degree on December 25th, which is why that day is celebrated. Right. Okay. And it continues this pattern without fail every single year. Okay.
Yeah.
So Leo is the king of the jungle. He's the king. He's the king of the zodiac. And the ruling planet of Leo is actually the sun. Hmm. So when they're talking about the kingdom of heaven on earth, they're talking about the sun in Leo. Okay. Now, Virgo is the next sign, which is the woman holding the wheat stalk. Okay. That's what you see in the sky. So you remember before I just said you plant in Taurus?
Right.
Okay. You plant in Taurus. And then what happens is you see Virgo in the sky and you go, shit, it's time to cultivate. Right. So the virgins would go out and cultivate the wheat. It was a woman's job to go out and cultivate the wheat in order to make the bread for the year. So you plant in Taurus, you plant the seeds, you water it all year, and then it grows and it grows and it grows. And then you cultivate it in Virgo. That's why it's a woman holding a wheat stalk, mm-hmm. a virgin more specifically. That's why all these gods are born of virgins, because it's Virgo.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yep.
Then Libra is the justice. It's the scales. It's the balance. It's the just one. And the reason it's considered justice or judgment is because the fall equinox is there. So the sun passes over the fall equinox, September 21st. It's judged in Libra and it's sentenced to its death. Okay. This is all a metaphorical story. And this is right. The only story that's ever been told when you break it down. The sun crosses over the fall equinox, and it begins its descent into cold, into winter, into death. The Jews always celebrate the new year around the fall equinox. They have Rosh Hashanah. And I just told you that Libra is also known as the judgment. He's the judger. Okay, it's the scales. If you ever see the Libra, it's the scales.
Yep.
It's the judgment.
I'm a Libra.
I'm a Libra too.
Yeah.
September 26th.
September 29th.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah.
We're not to get off astrology, but the four most, not personable, but the four most intelligent signs in the zodiac are Aquarius, then Gemini. This is not in order. Aquarius, then Gemini, then Virgo, and then Libra. Do you know why?
No.
Oh, and then Sagittarius. Do you know why? Because they're the human signs. Everything else is an animal.
Oh,
so that especially in Libra, it has to do with intellect. You like balance. You like, but I'm not going to start reading your chart right now.
Okay.
But basically, what you need to know in Libra is that if you see the word judgment or judging, okay, you know that's Libra. Also, Libra is wine season and olive season. Okay.
Okay.
So you grow the grapes in Taurus, and then you press the wine in Libra. So you have Virgo, the bread, and you have Libra, the wine, the bread and the wine. Those are the symbols of Christianity. Mm-hmm. Then Scorpio is the next sign, and he's known as the betrayer. And the reason Scorpio is the betrayer is because when a scorpion bites you, okay, it leaves an imprint in your skin that looks like a pair of lips. It looks like someone kissed you. And that's the betrayal, because it's full of poison. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's why Judas betrays Jesus with a kiss. He didn't stone him. He didn't throw a rock at him. He didn't point him out in the crowd. He was very specific. He betrayed him with a kiss. That's why, because Judas is one of the 12 disciples who represent one of the 12 zodiac signs, and he happens to be Scorpio. He's the betrayer.
Interesting.
Okay, so in Libra, you're betrayed. I'm sorry, in Libra, you're judged. The sun is judged. Then in Scorpio, it's betrayed. And then it's finally put to death in Sagittarius. Sagittarius has December 21st, which is the day of death. So when you're talking or you read a passage about death or someone dying, they're referring to Sagittarius because that's the death of the year.
Okay.
Okay. And then it comes back to life December 25th, Christmas. You could talk about Tammuz. You could talk about, what's his name? Not Osiris. You could talk about Horus. You could talk about Mithra. You could talk about all these gods. All December 25th. And that's why, because that's what they represent. It's all solar worship. Then Capricorn is the goat, because if you look at the zodiac wheel, Capricorn's at the bottom. And if the sun metaphorically climbs a degree every day along the zodiac wheel to its height and then comes back down, it starts to climb in Capricorn. That's the beginning. Okay. And just like that, the goat likes to climb the mountain. It's a metaphor.
Gotcha.
Okay. So those are the 12 signs. So now that you know what you're looking for, we can begin to decode this.
All right.
Okay. So just before I start, do you have any questions?
No. If for people that do have questions about this, watch our previous episode where you took that, the last 10 minutes or so, and blew that up into an hour and got into some real detail with it. So for people that are looking for it, we've got a previous episode a couple months ago that you can pick through, but no, I get it. I understand. Let's go.
Okay, cool. So Book of Enoch, we're going to start in chapter 2. Okay. 2:1, observe ye everything that takes place in the heaven, how they do not change their orbits, and the luminaries, which are in the heaven, how they all rise and set in order, each in its season, and transgress not against their appointed order. So they're telling you each sign belongs to a season. They're not going to transgress against their appointed order. It's going to be the same thing all year round. Okay. That's all it's telling you.
The order is set.
The order is set. The order is set, and it shall be.
Okay.
Chapter 8.2. This is just openly astrology. It says, some Jaza taught enchantments. Armoros, the resolving of enchantments. Barakiel taught astrology. Kokabel, the constellations. Ezekiel, the knowledge of the clouds. Sariel, the course of the moon. Okay, so they openly talk about astrology there. Yeah. Notice almost all of them end in L too. It's a common ending. You have Michael, Raphael, Rachel, Michelle, Daniel. I mean, there's a million names that end in L. And that's because El was the name of the god. And in the Egyptian times, the gods were Isis, Ra, and El. Okay. Right. And you put that together, you get Israel, which is where Israel comes from.
Oh, wow.
Because they derive from Egyptian time. So it's Isis, Ra, and El.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. And remember, everything's a trinity. Everything's a trinity.
Yeah.
That was the Egyptian trinity, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. That's the trinity in Christianity. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that's Judaism. You could, I could do this for all of them, but let's continue. So if we go to chapter 14:11, its ceiling was like the path of the stars and the lightnings, and between them was a fiery cherubim, and the heaven was clear as water. So there's the mention of water. They're talking about the heaven was clear as water. So we know it's going to be Aquarius or Pisces, right? Because those are the two. I mean, I struggle to call Aquarius a water sign because it's actually an air sign. Pisces is a water sign, but Aquarius is an air sign. But as far as astrotheologically it goes, it's represented by the water. Therefore, it is there it is.
Okay.
Okay. So this could mean Aquarius or Pisces, as there are water signs. Another thing that gives credence to that, though, is 14:13. And I entered into that house, and it was hot as fire and cold as ice. So the sun has entered either Aquarius or Pisces, as those are winter months where the sun is both a flaming ball, which is hot, but we're not getting the heat from it. So it's cold as ice. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Then 14:15, and I beheld a vision, and lo, there was a second house greater than the former. And the entire portal stood open before me, and it was built of flames of fire. And in every respect, it so excelled in splendor and magnificence and extent that I cannot describe to you its splendor and its extent. And its floor was of fire, and above it were lightnings and the paths of the stars. There it goes again with the stars. And its ceiling was also flaming fire. And I looked and saw therein a lofty throne. Its appearance was as crystal, and the wheels thereof as the shining sun. So they're talking about the sun and its kingdom, which I told you was Leo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the interesting thing, okay? We were trying to figure out whether it was Aquarius or Pisces they were talking about because it was a little unclear. It's actually Aquarius. And the reason we know this is because Aquarius and Leo are opposing signs. See, in the Bible and in these Gnostic texts, what they do sometimes is they encode signs that are not next to each other, like they did with Aquarius and Pisces.
Right.
But they'll talk about the opposing signs. The most important signs in your zodiac are going to be your neighboring signs. So you're a Libra. So your neighboring signs are Virgo and Scorpio, and your opposing sign, which is Aries.
Okay.
Okay. So that's what they talk about. That's how it goes. And it just bounces back and forth off the zodiac. You could literally like follow the wheel, and then it goes here, and then it goes here, and then it goes here. It all follows a pattern nonetheless.
Well, they're talking a lot about flames and fire in that. Is that confusing? Do some people get detoured and think that that is having to do, they're talking about hell?
No. I mean, the interesting thing about hell, okay, and I don't think I went over this with you, but I'll tell you. Hell is actually, hell doesn't exist.
Right.
Yeah. Hell does not exist. Hell is on earth. Hell is winter. Hell is supposed to be a flaming inferno. Blinding inferno, blinding lights and heat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in Italian, the word inverno means winter. It's cold. It's desolate. It's dark. All the animals come out. It's cold. You can't grow anything. That's hell on earth.
Interesting.
Okay, what it is it's a metaphor that's been turned around, and what you think is up is actually down. It's a case of that.
Yeah.
Hell is actually on earth, and it's winter.
Listen, I lived in South Central Los Angeles for 4 years in college. I can attest to that.
Hell is winter. In fact, in Dante knew this. Dante Alighieri is in the Divine Comedy. When you go, have you read it?
Nope.
When you go down to the bottom level, okay, Dante's Divine Comedy still shapes the way we think of heaven and hell to this day.
Mm-hmm.
He came out in the 1300s. He was actually banished from Italy for it. At the bottom layer of hell is Satan, who's frozen up to his belly in a lake of ice. He can't move because his wings are flapping so hard that it's freezing everything over. And he's sitting there chewing on Brutus, Cassius, and Judas. Those are the three people at the bottom level of hell.
Mm.
Okay. So he's telling you hell is cold. There is no hell. Okay. If you're worried about your soul burning in hell, let me ask you a question. How do you sense pain in your body?
It travels through from your nerves and into your
brain. Your nerve endings. Nerve endings. Okay, so when you're dead and your body departs and you're just the soul and you don't have nerve endings, how do you sense a flaming inferno?
You couldn't.
Exactly. So that alone.
Yeah. Right? I mean, obviously I don't know one way or the other, but I'm not a heaven and hell type of guy. I always thought of that as more symbolic, that heaven is, you know, you leave this planet and people remember you in a positive way. Maybe that immortalizes you, puts you in a heavenly state, mm-hmm. or people remember you as being a reprehensible scumbag like George H.W. Bush, and you know who he is, and you know how bad he is. So in your mind, you've put him in hell.
Right.
But I never took either of those terms literally.
Okay, good. So I'm going to continue. We're at 17:2 now. And they brought me to the place of darkness. So we know it's darkness. So we know it's a winter month. Okay. Makes sense, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And to a mountain, the point of whose summit reached the heaven. Okay. And I saw the place of the luminaries and the treasuries of the stars and of the thunder and in the uttermost depth where it was a fiery bow and arrow and their quiver.
That's Sagittarius. Well,
that's exactly. See, you're starting to get this. That's Sagittarius. Yeah. That's what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Winter month, bow and arrow. That's Sagittarius.
Yeah.
Okay. So in progression, what's next? And 17:4, and they took me to the living waters. Ah, so we're back in either Pisces or Aquarius, and the fire of the West. Well, if you look at the zodiac wheel, Aquarius and Pisces are on the left side of the zodiac, making it the West.
Mm.
Okay. So the sun is now back in a water sign. 18:2, and I saw the cornerstone of the earth. I saw the four winds which bear the earth and the firmament of heaven. The four winds are the cross that the entire zodiac has. So did I mention this last time? You have your zodiac wheel.
Yep.
If you connect the equinoxes and the solstices, it makes a perfect cross.
Yes.
That's why everything is, and then everything is split up into sections of threes.
Mm-hmm.
Da Vinci knew this on his Last Supper. That's just encoded astrology. They're all sectioned in threes.
Oh, wow.
That he knew this. Shit. And in fact, one of them, Taurus is pointing to, I'm sorry, not Taurus. It's one of the signs is pointing to the woman in the picture. He's pointing to her Adam's apple. He's telling you it's Virgo because the Adam's apple is not there. Then another one is like this, his hands out. I'm sorry, I can't like show you, but basically his hands are out like this. He's the scales. He's the justice. They all have little clues in them. But wow. Basically, Da Vinci knew this. So basically, let's see here. 18:13. I saw there seven stars like great burning mountains. And to me, when I inquired regarding them, are you familiar with the Pleiades?
Yes.
The Pleiades have seven stars in them called the Seven Sisters. That's mm-hmm. what they're talking about with the seven stars.
Okay.
So it's a constellation that they knew there. Okay. They say that there's a alien life form there, which I tend to believe.
Yeah.
From that constellation. They're actually supposed to be very positive beings. And in fact, in one of the, I think it was Barbara Marcinek, she channeled a being from the Pleiades. And we have it, I wrote it in my second book.
Oh, wow.
Her channeling information, what she channeled from them. It's a great message. And it was done years and years and years ago. And it talks about, I'll send you a copy.
Okay, cool.
All right. So 21:3, again, and there I saw seven stars of the heaven bound together in it, like great mountains and burning with fire. So there are the Pleiades again. You're talking about the seven sisters. Now we're at 46:1. And there I saw one who had a head of days, and his head was white like wool. Well, wool is sheep. Sheep is Aries. Okay. And with him was another being whose countenance had the appearance of a man. 46:3, this is the son of man who has righteousness. So the man, son of man, you're talking about Aquarius.
Okay.
Okay. 48:1, And in that place, I saw the fountain of righteousness. There's the fountain. So there's Aquarius. And all the thirsty drank of them, and they were filled with wisdom. And in that hour, and at that hour, the Son of Man was named. Again, they're still talking about Aquarius. They just mentioned two different ways that you know it's Aquarius. 49:1. For wisdom is poured out like water. Well, it's the man with the water pitcher pouring it out. That's Aquarius. And he shall judge the secret things. That's judgment. That's Libra. You see how this is starting to all like come together?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you have the code, if you have the, you know, you're like Ralphie trying to solve the puzzle of, you know, drink more Ovaltine, you know, if you've got the code there, you can crack it.
That's what it is. And it's incredibly simple, isn't it?
Yeah, but I would have never, had I not really known about the 12 signs of the zodiac and what they sort of mean and symbolize, then it wouldn't have been as easy for me. I'd be trying to take it literally and say like, oh, what are they seeing here? But in actuality, yes, that's what you do is
you take it literally. And that's what people are trying to decode. People are out there trying to figure out, okay, what does this mean? What does this mean? In Christianity, you use something called apologetics, which is basically how they explain the variances and the conflicting messages in their stories. I'm using the zodiac and the constellations. That's it. And the cipher is incredibly simple. And you could do this with any book. Now, remember, Enoch's not even in the Bible, and it still follows the same thing.
Huh.
Okay. Should I keep going?
Please do. Yeah, this is fascinating as hell, man.
Yeah. So you're getting this read the right way.
Yeah.
Okay. See, we're not going to go into all the dragons and all the crazy nonsense that people are trying to, well, what does three mean? What does five hearts mean? That's not how you're supposed to read this thing. Okay. Where are we here? 51:4. And in those days shall the mountains leap like rams. Well, that's Aries, mm-hmm. the ram. And the hills shall also skip like lambs. Well, again, that's Aries. Satisfied with milk. That's the Milky Way galaxy.
Yeah. Holy shit.
56:5. That they may break forth as lions from their lairs. That's Leo. And as hungry wolves among their flocks. Well, the wolf is the constellation Lupus. Lupus means wolf in Latin.
Yep.
Okay. 56:7. But the city of my righteous shall be a hindrance to their horses. That's Sagittarius. It's so simple. It's so amazingly simple.
And then, where they were mm-hmm. geographically and in the time that this was written, would they be able to see the constellation Lupus?
They would be able to see everything. You have to remember, this is how astrotheology works, is that the Egyptians, which the Bible took a lot of information from, like the book of the Dead has the Ten Commandments in it. The Egyptians, the Jews, and the Christians, for the most part, all started in the general Israeli Middle Eastern area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, except Egypt, which is, I believe, North Africa, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it started in that area. But regardless of where it started, the important part to remember is it's in the Northern Hemisphere. See, astrotheology, you have to understand it from the Northern Hemisphere point of view.
Yeah, that was my question. Because if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, you're getting a different light show.
It's backwards. June 21st is actually their coldest day of the year.
Gotcha. Okay? Yeah, exactly.
Their warmest day of the year is 4 days before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the reason it was done this way is because history came in the Northern Hemisphere. If everybody came out of Australia, or all these stories and books came out of Australia, it would be reversed.
Yeah.
Okay. So this works because we understand it as a functioning part of the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So let's see here. 67. And on that day were two monsters parted, a female monster named Leviathan. Well, Leviathan is the fish god. And you know this from history. So we know it's a fish. And there's two monsters. So there's two fish. So they're talking about Pisces. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And let's see here. In the abyss of the ocean over the fountains of water. So you're talking about both signs. You're talking about Pisces and then the fountains of water. That's Aquarius. 65:6. They have learned all the secrets of the angels and all the violence of the Satans with an S. it's important to understand is that the Book of Enoch was written in Hebrew, or technically, was it Aramaic? It was either Aramaic or very early Hebrew, okay? The word Hashatan, which means Satan in Hebrew, means adversary, okay? Satan is not a red creature.
Gotcha.
Satan wasn't even red until late into the last 1,000 years. He was actually blue before then.
Really?
Yeah, he was actually blue before then. The earliest drawings of Satan were him in blue.
Whoa.
But it's a recent thing that he's red. But Satan doesn't exist. Adversary. So like when you're watching a basketball game, those two teams are Satan's. That's all it is. That's all it means. Okay? Not to go into Lucifer, but you wanted me to talk about Little Nas X. That's part of it, what I just said.
Yeah, just because, you know, people are freaking out with his shoes and they're saying this is, you know, and then he's getting banged in the ass by Satan in the video, you know,
yeah.
which is maybe par for the course with him. I don't know, but yeah. It's a Hollywood thing. It's symbology and everything, but you were saying, don't freak out. It's not that big of a deal.
It's not that big of a deal. It's not real.
Yeah.
Have you seen me do my Illuminati hand symbols presentation?
No.
Okay. We'll have to do that another time. I'll show you. Everything is reversed. All these hand symbols like this and this.
Oh, no, I did. You did. This was the lotus position and things like that. Yeah. 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 Okay. Yeah. Well, it's not surprising to take signs and compromise them or to.
Well, the important thing is they were all very, very, very positive signs. And their intention is still there, no matter how it's been perverted. You know the swastika?
Yeah.
The swastika goes back to what, Hindu times?
Yeah.
They say that? It doesn't. It goes further than that. That's astrotheology too. If you take a picture of the Big Dipper on the solstices and the equinoxes, and you put those pictures together, you get the swastika. That's where it comes from.
No way.
That's where it comes from. It's just astrology, yeah. So, violence of the Satans. Okay, so we went over that. So, 6920, and through that oath, the sun and the moon completed their course and deviate not from their ordinance from eternity to eternity. That doesn't really need to be decoded. And through the oath, the stars complete their course, and he calls them by their names. And they answer him from eternity to eternity. So, they're talking about God. And in the manner of the spirits of the water and of the winds and of the zephyrs and in the path of all the quarters of the winds. They're just talking about the whole astrology there. Mm-hmm. Now, this part is blatantly obvious. It's called the Book of the Courses. Where is it? Hold on. The Book of the Courses of the Heavenly Luminaries. This you're going to find interesting.
Okay, cool.
As I find it all find interesting. That other stuff, yeah.
I find it all really interesting because I'm like a caveman in a computer lab with this stuff. You know what I mean? It's just fascinating to me and I don't have the background on it. So I appreciate you explaining it to me like I'm a dad.
No, listen, what took me 10 years to figure out?
Yeah.
I can explain it to you in an hour.
I love it.
Thank you. So that's part of the blessing that I get to do is share it with everyone. Okay. So, the Book of the Courses of the Heavenly Luminaries, 72:3. And I saw six portals in which the sun rises and six portals in which the sun sets. Okay. The sun sits in every zodiac sign during the day for 2 hours. 2 times 12 signs equals 24 hours. Makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. 72:14. On that day, the day becomes longer than the night, and the day becomes double the night. And the day becomes 12 parts and the night is shortened and becomes 6 parts. They're talking about the summer solstice. Mm-hmm. The summer solstice where it's where the day is double the length of the night.
Right.
Okay. Then 72:20. On that day, the day is equalized with the night becoming equal length. Well, that's the equinox.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 72:26. And on that day, the night becomes longer and amounts to double of the day. Well, that's just the winter solstice.
Right.
That's, you know, the winter solstice is just longer. 82:19. And the sheep pair and become pregnant, and all the fruits of the earth are gathered in, and everything that is in the fields and the wine press, these things take place in the day of his dominion. The sheep represents Aries, and its cross sign, very important, is Libra, the wine season, hence the wine press.
Mm-hmm.
87:4. And one said unto me, remain here till thou seest everything that befalls those elephants, camels, asses and the stars and the oxen and all of them. The Elephant Nebula is in Cephas. Okay. The camel or Camelopardalis borders Cephas. Okay. Then the donkey, the asses, Acellus Borealis or the northern donkey. Then finally, the oxen. It's called Boots, B-O-O-T-E-S. It's the ox constellation. Mm-hmm. It's all astrology. 8912. But that bull, Taurus, which was born from him, begat a black wild boar. That's the Andromeda constellation of boar. And a white sheep, which is Aries. So that's all they're talking about.
Whoa.
9031. And thereafter, those three who were clothed in white and had seized me by my hand, who had taken me up before, and the hand of that ram, Aries, also seizing hold of me, they took me up and set me down in the midst of those sheep, that's Aries again, before the judgment took place, that's Libra, again, right, opposing signs. 9656, woe to you who devour the finest of the wheat, the virgin with the wheat stalk, you're talking about Virgo, and drink wine, that's Libra, the wine press, the wine, okay? That's the next sign over,
yeah.
Okay? Who drink wine in large bowls. Woe to you who drink water from every fountain. That's, again, the man with the water pitcher. That's Aquarius. So it's going in the sun's path order of the zodiac. First, they talked about Virgo. Then they talked about Libra, which is the next sign. And then it goes down following order. And then it talks about Aquarius. Finally, in the appendix, 108.15, the last words, and the sinners shall cry aloud and see them resplendent, and they indeed will go where days and seasons are prescribed for them. That's talking about the zodiac and the constellations. And that, my friend, is the Book of Enoch.
Dang. That is really fascinating. But I'm not surprised in the sense that back then you've got your entertainment at night is the stars. The stories.
There was no calendar. There was no calendar. There was no calendar. Clock. There was no smartwatches. They had to look at the sun. They had to look at the stars. The Bible is a farmer's almanac. That's all it is. And it's an encoded farmer's almanac to keep the sacred wisdom of where everything is. That's all it is. I could do this with Revelation. I could do this with Enoch. I've done it with Matthew. I've done it with the Book of Job. Anything. It's all the same. They're all just different variations of encoding this information.
So why was this left out of the Bible?
I believe this was left out of the Bible because the Bible itself, as we know it in the West, talks about encoded astrology, okay? Whereas Enoch kind of breaks the mold and talks openly about astrology. You remember when I went over those astrologers, those angels that, mm-hmm. that did this and did this and did this? They openly talk about astrology, and you can't have that because the Roman Catholic Catechism 2116 says that astrology is banned and you should be praying to God alone. You should not look into astrology.
So they've cherry-picked the Bible. They've taken certain chapters out mm-hmm. and they've and kept certain chapters in. Can you explain to me the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Because I just really don't know the difference.
The Old Testament is pre-Christ. The New Testament is basically the story of Christ and his teachings. And then it's basically Paul for like 70% of it. The letters from Paul, the all that information. It's the same thing. I've taken passages from the Old Testament, from the New Testament. It's the same thing. It's just astrology. It's a story that you can read literally, but it's not meant to be worshipped. They'd be going batshit crazy if they knew that people were worshipping it literally. In 325 AD, Constantine united everything under a literal Christianity. He united Rome and everything. And whether he was baptized on his deathbed, like some people say, or he did it while he was alive is kind of up in the air, but it's irrelevant. Since then, Christianity had been a literal Christianity. But prior to 325 AD, Christians were known as Heliognostics. Okay. And Helios means the sun in Greek, and Gnosis means knowers. So they were sun worshipers. That's what they were called. Okay. And in fact, Constantine had a nephew named Julian the Apostate, okay, who died in battle. He got an arrow shot in his back by someone from his side, whether it was murder or not is up in the air. But he has countless books that are still out there that you can read. He talks about the fact that he was trying to bring everyone back to sun worship after his uncle died. They were reading this. Yeah, they were reading this the way it should be read.
If there's sun worship, then is there moon worship?
There is moon worship. There is. The Jews have moon worship. We do too. We have the moon day, the first day of the week.
Yeah,
we have the Monday. We have the Monday. The Jews have a lunar calendar. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Moses goes up on Mount Sinai. Sinai is a combination of two ancient words: sin, which means moon god, and AI, which means mountain. So he goes up to the mountain of the moon god. Why? Because they would look at this giant fucking volcano, and the moon would come from behind it at nighttime, and they'd be like, "Oh, that's where it comes from."
Oh, interesting.
Well, what is okay? So you mentioned the Book of Revelations. I hear this a lot. I hear this as a book that you've got to read, and there's read the Book of Revelations, and that'll set you straight and everything. So I haven't taken everybody's advice to read this book. I wonder if you can give us at least just sort of a summary or background as to why the Book of Revelations is something that we should at least be aware of.
Let me pull up my work on that. Well, I'm combining the Book of Enoch and Revelation now, so I'm going to have to charge you double.
Okay, that's my tab.
So let's see here a second. Let me start here. Revelation 4:7. I'm going to start reading some passages, and then okay. I'm going to stop when you realize it's the same shit.
Okay.
Revelation 4:7. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. Okay. The lion is Leo. The ox is Taurus. The face of a man, that's Aquarius, the man with the water pitcher. The fourth was like a flying eagle. This you have to know a little astrology for, but I'll explain it to you. In astrology, the scorpion is the belly-crawling creature. It's the lowest form of life on Earth, like the snake in the Garden of Eden, where God cursed him to crawl on his belly.
It would have to be the opposite sign of that, right?
No, not quite. But I like where you're thinking. You're starting to think like this. The scorpion, its evolved form in astrology is the flying eagle, because it's the highest animal.
Okay.
So you have the lowest creature on Earth crawling on its belly, and then you have the highest animal. The eagle evolves again into the phoenix. And what is the phoenix but Christ? It's on fire, just like Jesus the Son is on fire. Okay. Hmm. And what happens to it? It dies.
Reborn.
And then it's dies reborn.
And is reborn, yeah.
Right? Okay. So we have those four signs. We have Leo, Taurus, Aquarius, and Scorpio. Those are the four fixed signs of the zodiac. The zodiac wheel, then you have the solstices and the equinox that make the perfect cross.
Mm-hmm.
These do this through the cross. They make an X.
Okay.
So it's just, that's how they did it. They did it on purpose. That's how it was written.
Okay.
Revelation 5:5. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Well, the mention of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is also the Lion of Judah. When the Son is in Leo, he's the Lion of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
When the Son is in Aries, he's the Lamb of God. When the Son is in Pisces, he's the Fisherman of Men. That's why he feeds the masses with two fish on the hill.
So he's got a different name depending on where the Son is.
Exactly. Jesus does. When he's in Aquarius, he's known as the Son of Man. Okay. Yeah. When he's in Libra, the judgment, he's known as the Just One. In Virgo, the woman with the wheat stalk, he's known as the Bread of Life. He's known as the Born of a Virgin.
Mm-hmm.
They all have different signs. They all have different names for him. So Revelation 6, I watched the Lamb open the first of the seven seals. So that's Aries. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow. So before the Lamb stood Sagittarius, the white horse with the guy holding the bow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sagittarius is where the Sun dies. This is the first of the four horsemen. The first horseman is in Sagittarius. There will be four Sagittarius, four horsemen. Get it?
Yeah.
There's four Gospels. Jesus dies in Sagittarius in all of them because it has December 21st in it. So there'll be four horsemen, four gospels. Okay.
Ooh, okay. What is that? How does that tie into the four horsemen of the apocalypse?
it's the man on the horse. Okay, they predict the end of the world, which is the end of the world is when the sun dies. Mm-hmm. And metaphorically, it's the end of the world every year.
Yeah,
it's not of all time. It's just the end of the year. Then I heard, this is Revelation 6:6. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages. Do not damage the oil and the wine. Well, the wheat and the barley, that's in Virgo. And next, do not damage the
Libra.
The oil the and the wine. And the oil, remember? The olives?
Yeah. Yeah, the oil. Okay. Yeah.
I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The goat, that's Capricorn. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to earth, and figs dropped from a fig tree when shaken by the strong wind. The sun turned the sack. Okay, so that's the goat. Goat is Capricorn, and it's black because Saturn is the ruling planet of Capricorn, which is known as the black planet. It's known as the black cube.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You ever see the Jews wearing this thing on their head?
Yep.
That's the black cube. That's Saturn worship. Have you ever seen the Muslims walking around the giant black cube in Mecca?
Yeah.
That's Saturn worship.
Yeah. Why is that perceived by some people to be evil when you're talking about Saturn worship? Or is it perceived to be evil?
It's just energies. I mean, really, like, look, I'm wearing an earring, right?
Yeah.
Saturn has rings. They tell you that you used to, well, at the time it was women. Men have earrings now too. But women, you know, you have to wear your ear rings because you have to listen to your God. Their God was Saturn.
Mm.
Okay. You had to wear wedding rings. Okay. Because you made your covenant to Saturn, to your wife, to your husband, right. Whatever, to God.
So that's where the rings come from. They're the set mm-hmm. rings of set. Wow. It's all in there. It's all encoded. Our customs are built on this stuff and we're so detached from it. You know,
that's why the Jews' day of worship is the Saturn day. I'm sorry. The Saturday. Get it?
Yeah. 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 Whoa.
I think your mom's going to like this episode.
I think so. She's gonna, you know, when I was 16, my mom and I had my dad had just passed away. It was summer break in between my junior year and senior year of high school. And my dad had died just a couple months earlier. School ends and we were looking to do something. My mom and I were looking to do something interesting to get out and just have an adventure and you know, life is too short. You go through this realization. So we went to Egypt. We went and spent
Cairo?
A week in Cairo and did the pyramids and the Sphinx and the Egyptian Natural History Museum. And I felt and you know and got cartouches made and went through the markets and the most amazing the Egyptian people, the nicest people. They do honk their horns quite a bit. They drive like shit. But the nicest, sweetest people we came in contact with, and I think I developed a connection to Egypt, Egyptology. I found myself interested reading Graham Hancock books and things like that, and just always having this connection to you know I. When you get to go in the pyramids and up the stairs and into the king's chamber and everything, and you're standing there and you want to talk about feeling insignificant in a beautiful way. Yeah. It's standing right next to the pyramids and looking up and seeing this and going, wow, I'm just a speck of dirt compared to this. But yep. I didn't feel negative about that. I just felt like I was standing next to a masterpiece. And you can, you know, and I think a lot of people probably that have made that trip have felt that way, that there's something, it's obviously historic. I mean, it's one of the seven wonders.
Well, but, you know, the pyramids used to be ancient energy devices.
that's, you know,
they still are. There was a guy that he has a bunch of land in the South, and he put a pyramid. He put a pyramid on his land because that's a normal thing to do.
Right.
But he did it. He found that the food that he had planted in the pyramid grew four times as fast.
Whoa. Okay. I'm not surprised. I'm really not surprised at all. I know it was covered in limestone before. It had a capstone.
It is limestone.
Yeah.
It is limestone.
Is it still limestone?
It's made out of limestone. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
had a white covering.
Yeah.
It had a white covering. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I don't expect you to know the answer to this, but do we know how that thing was built? I mean, I've heard so many different.
Built with something called acoustic levitation.
I've heard about that. That seems like a logical thing.
If you go to YouTube, they used to manipulate the sound waves.
Yeah.
What you do is if you go on YouTube, you could type in acoustic levitation like rocks, and they show people that do this. Okay. Because basically the rock is on, a flat plane, and then you vibrate it with sound waves, and then it just floats in the sky. You could lift the heaviest things with it. You know, they used to have this kind of knowledge.
I've heard about this old device that I don't know if it was Tesla or somebody around that time. It was a little device that you connected onto the side of a building, and it would tick-tock back and forth, and it would rev up, and it would, the more it clicked back and forth, the more it would eventually just take the whole building down.
Yeah,
and it was using sound waves and magnifying sound waves to do it. And that somebody had tried to, I think they'd tried to patent it. I don't know.
The military has guns like that. They have sound waves. If I aim my sound wave directly at you, only you can hear it to the side. You have someone 2 feet next to you. They won't hear it. It's concentrated sound waves. That's how they disarm people.
We saw that in Cuba recently, that they were talking about a group of Americans that had gone to Cuba on some sort of governmental mission had been blasted with directed energy sound waves that they couldn't sleep at night, and the people were screwing with them. Kind of payback, I guess, for all the shitty stuff that we've done to people with sound cannons and dispersing crowds and things like that. Maybe we got a taste of our own medicine, but I'm not surprised to hear that about the levitation of stones and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to look like magic.
Oh yeah. So if I go to Revelation 7:4, this is fun to explain. Then I heard this is okay. So the Mormons, or it's either the Mormons or the Latter-day Saints that talk about this. Have you heard of the 144,000, the ones that get to go to heaven?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. So they believe that no matter what you do on earth, you're predestined to be one of the 144,000.
Okay.
However, are you familiar with the chakras?
Yeah.
There's seven chakras. You have ultraviolet, or infrared.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the colors straight through. There are seven chakras. The root has four petals. The sacral has six. The solar plexus has 10. The heart has 12. And the throat has 16, which equals 48. The third eye chakra is represented by 96 and only has two petals because it's two times as powerful as the lower chakras. So 48 times two is 96. The crown chakra is 1,000 times as powerful as the lower six. So when you add the lower six, you get 96 plus 48. That's 144. You multiply that by 1,000. There's your 144,000.
Oh, wow.
It's not a list of people. These are frequencies. That's all they are.
Wow. Back to frequencies again. I mean, you would never assume that they were talking about frequencies. You would think that it's written by people. You'd think it would be about people. Your mind wouldn't go to, oh, it's got to be about frequencies. But then when you did 432 and you know that that's the harmonic frequency, that's a pretty specific number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I could keep going, like Revelation 9:3. And out of the smoke, locusts came down on earth and were given powers like that of scorpions on earth. Well, the scorpions are Scorpio. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can keep going through Revelation, but I think it's the same thing, right? They're all the same thing.
So what happens? So let's say I'm not a religious person. I think it's pretty obvious, but But let's say you're giving this presentation to somebody that is deeply religious. Would they be offended by this, or would they? I mean, obviously, I know that that's.
I've given this to deeply religious people, and how they respond is various. I've done podcasts with Richard Syrett, who's had me on Coast to Coast AM.
I've done podcasts with Richard Syrett, and he's had me on Coast to Coast with him as well.
He is a lovely gentleman. He is a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Early on, he was interested in my work. He says, I will not put up anything that denies Christ. I said, you don't have to deny Christ. I'm just presenting another outlook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just find this stuff to be easier to wrap my head around, and it just makes more sense to me, you know, because I'm using one cipher. I'm not explaining away contradictory passages in the Bible or having to wrap my brain around how this makes sense, but this doesn't. This all makes sense with astrology.
And do some people see this as some religious people see this as like an expansion of their understanding of this? Like
some people do. They go, I've never thought of this before, but this strengthens my faith. And if that's what it does for you, that's fine. That's not what it did for me.
Right.
But if that's what it does for you, that's fine. But then you'll have to also explain why the Catholic Church, the Roman Catechism 2116, says astrology is for the devil.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe they don't want people talking about this, or maybe they don't. Maybe they've got a story that they want to be consistent, and they don't want anybody picking around at the edges of this. But one of the things that you've done is you have a full book series, and it's going and it's evolving too. It's growing, your series. So
yeah, let's talk about that.
Let's talk about this, because when people go to Amazon, they can get themselves started on the Book of Micah. I mean, is that what
you know what? Give me 2 seconds. Let me go grab my books.
Okay. Yeah. Do that. Yeah. I'll entertain the audience here. With just an explanation that if you go to Amazon and you type in Micah Dank, you're going to find a collection of books, and it's a series. And obviously he's going to go grab them right now. But there's a lot to get. I mean, if you think this is interesting, and I do, because I don't have a background in this. But if you think this is interesting and you want to sort of elaborate on this or see what a guy that understands this stuff can do.
Oh, what I've done so far today, and with the last episode, barely touches the amount of stuff that I actually do. It's a series of thrillers, is what it is. I've written them. They're very Dan Brown, Da Vinci Code like, where the characters figure this stuff out.
Yeah,
because it's easier to get away with putting this kind of forbidden knowledge in fiction. You can kind of get away with more if you're a fiction writer,
for sure.
If you write a nonfiction book,
and you understand, if anybody does, how to encode things into your writings in a way that is symbolic and maybe not to be taken literally. So I would imagine that you've got a bunch of Easter eggs hidden in your books that people can geek out on trying to figure out and find.
I've encoded my own books. The first one. This is Beneath the Veil.
Right.
This is the first in the series. This is the Sacred Stones. We were talking about the pyramids before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's that. And I don't have a copy of my fourth one right now, which is out. Only 4 out of 6 are out so far. But this is the third one, The Secret Weapon, which has to do with the Knights Templar and the Rosicrucians.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So these are my books. And look, the truth is that if you want to go on Amazon and pick them up, you're more than welcome to. I've got no beef with it. But if you don't want to give your money to Bezos, which a lot of people in this community don't like doing.
Yeah.
You can reach out to me. I'm on Facebook and Twitter. My name is Micah Dank. Just reach out to me. Friend me, follow me. I'll reach out to you. And you can get signed copies through me. I send signed autographed copies. I don't know if you've seen the amount of copies that I've been
seen the pictures.
Out.
It's like stacks and stacks and stacks of books in wrapped up and ready to go out in the mail. You look like you're running a small post office from your place. But I think that's a testament to the popularity of your books, and people are hearing you. They're hearing you on Coast to Coast. They're hearing you on Tinfoil Hat and in a variety of places. Obviously you've been here before. And it's, you know, there's so much garbage on television, And I do a good job of complaining about a lot of that garbage, but in books, especially in America, we don't read as much as we should. I remember going and doing press in the UK for my Octopus book, and sales were just through the roof in the UK. And then I'd come back to the US and it'd be like 1/10 of the books there. So we need to get back into the reading. We need to start prioritizing books and things like that. If you want to watch a Marvel comic series, I mean, on movies of that, great, fine. But something tells me your books are probably just as entertaining, filled with even more symbology and not tied to the Hollywood propaganda machine.
Right. There.
Yeah. So, dude, listen, this is, once again, so now this is two episodes in, and you're melting brains, which I think is probably good for a lot of people. And you're forcing us to think about things differently. People can reach you on Facebook. They can find you on Twitter. Your Twitter logo is going to pop up in this video right when you start. And for anyone that has questions about this, you can email me. You can reach out to me at theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. And you can follow Mike on Twitter, because he's found a way to get the message out and talk about things in a way that doesn't seem to get him banned, which is a talent.
I'm watching everybody in the podcast community just fall one by one around me.
I know. I already got
getting shadow banned and everything. Oh. Well, that's it. My publicist, and it's incidentally, by the way, my publicist that I have, we're actually in the process of talking to a TV producer. We might get this produced into a TV series.
That would be great, man. That would be real good. There's a lot of, you know, and you've of course been on Union of the Unwanted, where we've talked about this stuff. You see guys like Jay Dyer starting to make that transition into TV and things like that. People have a real appetite for this. It's fascinating and interesting stuff. And so for everyone that finds these things interesting, support Mike's work. Go buy his books. Buy them directly from him so you can get a signed autographed copy. You are one of the most interesting people that I know, and I always appreciate you coming on the show to break down this stuff in a way that makes sense for the uninitiated like myself. So I thank you so much, man.
I appreciate it. You don't even need to read the Book of Enoch. Actually, you know what? Read the Book of Enoch, and don't try and like decode it, even though I gave you the cipher, and you're probably going to pick it all out now.
Yeah.
But try and read it literally and imagining trying to decode that kind of stuff instead of having the cipher.
Yeah, for sure. That's it, everybody. Hey, if you like this episode, please share it with your friends and family, because the algorithms hate us. Thanks, everybody. Take care.